ABC Radio Australia.
Now, of course, it has been 3 days since the Hunga Tonga Hunga Hapai volcanic eruption. And joining me now to provide an update on the situation is the Pacific head of the International Federation of the Red Cross, Katie Greenwood, joining me on the line from Suva in Fiji. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning.
Katie, have you been able to be in touch with the Red Cross office in Tonga's capital, Nuku'alofa?
Unfortunately, we haven't been able to re-establish contact with them since just after the major eruption on Saturday evening. However, last night, through a number of relayed messages between various high commissions and the head of our office in Red Cross in Tonga, we were able to make some contact and arrange for a call to happen today. So through a satellite phone, let's fingers crossed that that the ash cloud doesn't disrupt that. So we hope to make contact this morning to find out more information about what's been happening there, what the extent of the damage is. But more information is beginning to come to us through satellite pictures and imagery. So we're getting a better picture of what's been going on.
And what is your understanding of what you've been able to gather so far of the situation on the ground?
Well, the first thing is we're very glad to hear that it's not possibly as catastrophic an event as we first thought that it might have been. So those major population centres within the main island in Tongatapu and elsewhere, we believe that whilst there is significant damage that's been caused by ashfall and by the inundation of tsunami waves, there hasn't been the catastrophic loss of life that we can ascertain at this point in time, which is very good news. Notwithstanding, there, many people's lives will have been affected in one way or another, whether that is through the quality of their air that they're breathing and the water, damage to their kitchen gardens and their cash crops. No doubt, livelihoods will have been impacted. We know that on the western part of Tongatapu, there's been significant damage. We know that some people have lost their entire livelihoods. So we don't want to downplay the significance of this, and we're still very keen to hear from some of those outer islands and places closer to the volcanic eruption where we haven't heard from people yet.
And what sort of help do you anticipate will initially and immediately be needed on the ground? And what is Red Cross, I guess, prepared to help with at the moment?
It's really about health and livelihoods and making sure that people are safe in the first instance. So we already know that our teams will have been engaged in when we spoke to people on Saturday afternoon, they were moving, helping to move people to the limited amount of higher ground that's available. They will have been doing first aid as necessary. And now our attention would turn to understanding what the damage has been to people's homes and shelters. So it would be distribution of kits, tarpaulins, blankets, essential lamps because of the power outages, equipment to help people to make sure that their water is clean and drinkable, and all of those sorts of immediate sort of actions to make sure that people's health and well-being is taken care of. Then we turn to the kind of longer term impacts.
And just on the water, you know, we've been speaking to people in the Tongan diaspora here in Australia. They're saying that that's what they're most worried about for their families back home, that they won't have food and they won't have clean water. What exactly would you be taking or providing to help with the purification of that water or getting clean drinking water to them?
Yesterday there was a big discussion amongst UN agencies, the International Red Cross and other disaster management organisations and authorities here in Fiji to make sure that we could understand from WHO colleagues and others that the items that we have available already in Tonga around water purification, tablets and things like that are going to be appropriate to be used for ashfall, and we understand they are. We also understand that some of the equipment that is going to be going in can pump out some purified water at higher quantities for larger groups of people and communities to be able to use. So that's the immediate thing. we do have some hope that because the volcano had been erupting for some period of a couple of months, that there had been a big education campaign for people to cover their water sources and to disconnect, rainwater gutters going into tanks and things like that. Now, that may have preserved some small quantities for short periods of time, but we are going to have to look to the coming weeks and months around what can be done for water sources.
Now, obviously, one of the, biggest areas of concerns are those smaller islands in low-lying areas that have not had any communications restored, and people are unsure of exactly what's happened in those areas. There have been some reports come through that potentially the UN had received distress signals from some islands. Have you heard anything about that?
We heard that information yesterday as well in this meeting that we had of all the different response agencies. So we had been distressed about that anyway and had concerns for those communities. So I think today we're all looking forward to seeing some of the imagery that has come out of the reconnaissance flights that were done yesterday. And we're poring over these satellite images, before and after satellite images that are starting to come through. Because at the moment, the instability of the volcano itself, it's a guessing game to know how safe it is to begin to do those assessments of places that are further afield. We do still have some fears. We hope also that we may be able to get some communication items further afield as the week goes on.
Well, Katie, thank you very much for joining us here on Pacific Beat, providing us with those updates. No doubt we'll be back in touch to hear as more information comes through, and best of luck in that recovery process.
Thanks so much.
That's Katie Greenwood. She's the Pacific head of the International Federation of the Red Cross, speaking with me there.